pray. Lord, for our country in which we can freely speak out of what you have done for us, help us, Lord, to be truly grateful. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. If you would, find your worship bulletin and find your way to the back. I thought I'd get Old Testament on you guys this morning. Old Testament lesson from Jeremiah chapter 28. And to set it up, I think we need to set up the whys. Why are we going into this? How are we going to approach this? And just talking just a little bit here, talking about a nation under God. It's July 4th holiday. This is kind of where we're headed. And talking about in Jeremiah's day, what was happening? Why is it pertinent that Jeremiah chapter 28 is kind of etching into where we're going today? And when the nation of Israel was set up, it was set up where God said, if you continue to be my people and look towards me as the one and only, that I will make your nation prosperous, I'll make your nation great. And that's the one thing that God asked of them, and they said, surely we will. And God says, well, when you don't, what's going to happen is that you're going to lose your status of God's people. And it didn't take but a matter of a few years. And then they started this roller coaster in the book of Judges, where for a little while they would follow God, and then they would follow into this pattern of not following God, and then people would invade. Then they'd look for a judge who would expel the people that were there persecuting them, and this roller coaster would continue over and over again, where God would save his people from them not following God. And finally, it came to a point in which God had had enough. And so there was this exile, and Jeremiah is living in this time of exile. And God is trying to warn them. He's trying to warn them in Jeremiah chapter 23. It's very interesting. Jeremiah 23, let's read this together. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They say continually to those who despise the word of the Lord, it shall be well with you. And to everyone who stubbornly follows his own heart, they say, no disaster shall come upon you. So before our text here, God's saying, be careful that if someone comes to you and says, well, God spoke to me and everything's just going to be okay, that's not the word of the Lord. And so what happens is God declares through the prophet Jeremiah that they're going to live in exile for at least one generation. At least one generation. Usually it means about 40 years. Right? So you're going to be taken away, and you're never going to see this country again. And so it comes to pass that the king of Babylon comes in and takes over Jerusalem and takes all those people away. And so the country of Israel is no more. And so we get into this Jeremiah chapter 28, and we see that Israel was destroyed because of who they worshipped. Because of who they worshipped. And then this prophet Hananiah comes along, and he says this. He says, as for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it should be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Jeremiah is talking about Hananiah saying, in a few years, God's going to relent and bring back his people. So don't worry, it's going to be okay. And so he's trying to undo the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is saying, you got to be careful of this. You can't say from yourself that this country is going to be well off, no problems. Because it's very easy when you're going through something especially as a nation as a whole, to say, well, it'll get better in a little while. I mean, all of you guys, anybody remember the Vietnam era? Some of you? For some of you that don't remember it like me, because I didn't live through it, we got a lot to learn. All right, because this nation, from what I've heard, was like this, right? And then the 80s came along, and Michael Jackson, and all this crazy culture started emerging. But what also started emerging is a church attendance was really good. People were still ingrained in God, and then become the 90s. You guys remember the 90s? Some of you were born in the 90s, right? Yeah? In the 90s, this trend starts to happen where the sins of the 70s start germinating in the 90s almost. And then you get to the 2000s, people have a sigh of relief because the virus of 1999 didn't take place. You guys remember that? Where you were supposed to lose your entire bank accounts because computers controlled the banks. You guys remember that? And everyone was looking to God and like, God, please save our nation. All of a sudden, 1999 went to 2000. There was nothing. All of a sudden, people didn't. And then all of a sudden, the September 11th thing happened. You guys remember that? And then all of a sudden, the church I was in, you couldn't find a seat that next Sunday. It was totally packed. And then I remember the scene of the Sunday right after that. And it was back to even below normal. And so it seems that this country kind of still goes into this roller coaster, just like Israel, where we are looking as a country for the blessings of God, but not to acknowledge where the blessings come from. Can I just put it like that sometimes? Sometimes we can be very stubborn as a people. And we want to enjoy our security, but sometimes we forget that the only security is with God alone. And so, if I ask you guys, is this the greatest country in the world? Could you give me reasons why? Could you give me reasons why? I have not traveled the world. I have not been to other countries. And so I begin to wonder, is this the greatest country in the world? And there are plenty of things out there to let you know, either yes or no. I found this clip from a movie, and I begin to wonder what this guy is really trying to say. And I'd ask you to think about the reasons why. Not that if you agree or disagree, but think about what he's trying to say.
Sure used to be. We stood up for what was right. We fought for moral reasons. We passed laws, struck down laws for moral reasons. We waged wars on poverty, not poor people. We sacrificed. We cared about our neighbors. We put our money where our mouths were, and we never beat our chest. We built great big things, made ungodly technological advances, explored the universe, cured diseases, and we cultivated the world's greatest artists and the world's greatest economy. We reached for the stars, acted like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't scare so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
So that's an interesting clip. Is the United States the greatest country in the world? And you could debate this guy whether or not you want to do that, whatever his talking points. The one thing I aspire to is everything he's talking about things that we did, not because of who we were, but because of what? Because of who we served. that God was at the forefront of what was talked about in the household, talked about in what came about in speeches. You heard about God talked about right and left. And now it's if you believe in God, then you're somehow weak. And so in the nation, I really wonder, if we're following the trends of what Israel did, are we going up? Are we going down? Are we coming back up? Don't know. What I do know is this. This week, we get to celebrate. A lot of you are looking for fireworks. Celebrations. And I want to commend to you, number one, what are the colors of our flag? How many colors are there in one flag? Don't forget that. Three colors in one flag. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their... You can't declare independence and have this kind of communication and then forget it as a country. If you forget this, you forget the entire declaration. July 4th has no more meaning if our nation is not rooted in what it was rooted in. It was rooted under one nation, under God. And so if we forget that today, we take a look at what happened in the Old Testament. We don't forget that God mapped out all the sins of Israel back in the Old Testament to give us an example. This is what happens to a country that forgets God. Is God will no more bless that nation. I don't know if God is going to bless this nation from here on out or not. That's not for me to say. What is for me to say is God needs to be first in our lives. Number one, that's it, nothing else. And that's all you hear me say this morning. I hope that's what rings true. When we celebrate because of what God has given us, not because of what we have done as a people. We have been blessed by God. Let's pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Lord God, on this week in which many of us will celebrate another year you have given this nation, Lord God, no matter what the news would hold for us, no matter what external things are on the news, are on our hearts, Lord God, we pray that you would turn our hearts and minds back to you. Help us realize that it is by one person that a whole nation can be changed. Lord God, it doesn't matter what the politics are, Lord. Lord God, you draw us nearer to you by your word. So a most important thing in our lives, Lord, is what you have told us, that you have loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son into our lives to give to us a sacrifice, Lord, that we could never, ever give. And so we thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you have given us, both as individual people, but also because of the gift of your Son and what it means for a nation to follow you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.